welcome to the Film Obsessed Couple. I'm Shelley.
And I'm Scott.
And we hope everyone's doing well. This is kind of an impromptu recording. We really appreciate you choosing us to listen to. Scott and I are a married couple obsessed about movies. Scott is more analytical, while I'm a little bit more open-minded. We are unscripted and unfiltered, which means it will get wild and crazy.
As it always does.
Mm-hmm. So buckle it up.
So you said it. We are doing something a little more impromptu here. People tuning in being like, I thought they said they were doing Infinite. We are. Mm-hmm. We still are. That will be next time. To give some background on this here, we were going to appear on Film versus Film again to talk about Drive-Away Dolls, because we had talked about some Coen Brothers movies with Martin before. We were all set to do that. We went to the theater to watch it because it's still in theaters at the time. We didn't take notes, which will be reflected on today's episode, I feel. But at the last minute, Martin unfortunately was feeling pretty ill, and we canceled that. So we were like, well, you know, we went and watched the movie, and I think we've got a bit to say about it because it is pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. So let's do maybe possibly a shorter episode on it for ourselves.
Yeah, a little short little thing. Tell you how we feel about it. And if you like this episode better, maybe we just won't take notes.
That may be nice.
That's like the worst part, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's also kind of hard, too, is because when you're doing this podcast, you want to make sure you kind of talk about everything. And
right.
Every time we're done with an episode, I'm like, I feel like I just went like, and then they do this, and then they did this, and then they did this. Oh, and this person said this. I forgot to say that. So, you know, you don't want to keep doing that. I want it to flow and not have to feel like I'm talking about the whole movie.
Well, we'll see what we flow like. So tell us a little bit about, I guess, because there's brothers, but this is just one.
Mm-hmm. So I forget how long ago it was at this point, but the Coen brothers, you know, of course, they made a ton of movies together. They decided to split. And I remember reading something recently that Ethan, who directed Drive-Away Dolls here, was like, oh, it became difficult to make a movie with my brother, and just decided to go off on their own. Now that we've seen this movie, I don't know if it was such a great idea.
Well, and I thought it was just him that was directing, but I guess there was somebody else too.
His wife wrote it with him.
Oh, wrote it, but she didn't direct it.
Right.
Okay, that's different.
Yeah, I guess he has to have a partner. Instead of his brother, he's partnering with his wife, which is good. But yeah, he is working with his wife, and I guess they're working on kind of like a spiritual sequel to this, where it'll be like a horror movie, and it's also got Margaret Qualley, who was the Southern girl in Drive-Away Dolls, in it.
Mm.
They want to make like a, they said it, like a queer trilogy of movies like this, kind of.
Okay.
Which, you know, I don't have a problem with that. It's just this, we'll get into it, but this movie was weird.
Yeah. And do you think that their focus was like, oh, we're going to make a movie about lesbians and everybody's going to love it?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's refreshing to see. I mean, I don't have a problem with the lesbian part in it.
No, I don't have a problem with any kind of, you know, movies are movies. You can have your own little twist to it. I don't know. I kind of felt like they used that way too much in this movie.
Yeah, it is also kind of odd to see, because the Coen brothers never really touched upon things like this. Mm. Like, you never really had lesbian sex and stuff. And I did see a very funny review when I was like kind of reading about it after we watched it. And one was like, well, now we know who the horny Coen brother is.
or his wife. Because she helped write it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, the reason we wanted to do this is because we talked about it at length after we were done. Mm. Just things. And my stance on it at the end of the day will be that I really think that they work better together.
Yeah. And also, we did not say up front, but there will be spoilers in this episode.
For sure. Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it and you don't want it spoiled, please stop now.
Mm-hmm.
And go watch it and then come back and we'll see if you match our feelings. If not, you know, let us know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point before we get going on that. Joel Coen has gone on and directed things. He directed The Tragedy of Macbeth, the Shakespeare adaptation with Denzel. I don't know. I just have to really be in the mood for it to sit down and watch a Shakespeare movie, so I haven't seen that one yet, but I heard it was good. It got nominated for Oscars for Denzel, if I remember right. But I don't know. I mean, the Coen brothers together is all I've known, and right. I'm scared to not have them.
It's kind of like, oh, they want to break off and do their own thing, which is great. But then it's like, but you're better together.
The premise of this movie could have been done to make it like a wacky adventure like Raising Arizona like they've done, or kind of a Burn After Reading. The plot is pretty out there and pretty crazy wacky, but there's just something missing from it, I feel.
So let me tell you, did you come out there thinking, huh, I've never seen anything like that before?
In parts, I would say, I guess, yeah.
Okay, well, that is what Trisha Cook wanted.
Oh, okay.
Nailed it. She nailed it.
Trisha Cook being Ethan's wife.
Yes.
We'll go ahead and get into it here, but the movie starts off very strange, where I almost thought I was watching like a movie within the movie, because it starts with Pedro Pascal playing this dude in a bar with like a big silver briefcase, and he thinks he's being followed, and he ends up being chased down an alleyway by these goons who kill him in a very over-the-top way. They, like, put a corkscrew in his neck, and he's just screaming the whole time.
So weird.
And I remember being like, are the characters in this movie, like, at a theater watching this movie, and it's going to be revealed that they're like, oh my god, this is crazy. But no, it happens, and you're like, okay, so this movie's going to be weird. But that kind of thing never really comes back, of, like, comical murders.
And wasn't he in the trailer, Pascal?
Yes, he was, I think for a minute.
So I think that was kind of a selling point, too, because who doesn't love him?
Yeah, I mean, he's gigantic at the moment.
Yeah, and so, yeah, when I thought he was going to be in it, I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And then he's went in it, like, 2 minutes?
Yeah. Well, I think the Coen brothers at this point have a big enough name right now to where if one of them, even if they're not together, wants to make a movie, they'll be like, people will just be like, yes, sure, I trust the Coen brothers.
Yeah, no.
So Pedro Pascal is like, I'm only in it for like 2 minutes. Yeah, I want to work with one of the Coen brothers.
And I'm not blaming that on him or whatever, but I'm just thinking my feelings was like, man, this is going to be great.
Yeah, it is kind of like a psycho fake out where you're like, oh, I'm with this character, or he's going to be in it. And then you're like, oh, he's dead right away.
Yeah. I mean, he still hangs out for a while.
Partially. So after that scene, we immediately cut to Margaret Qualley's character, Jamie, going down on another woman.
Yeah.
And let me tell you this. I don't mind these scenes. I'm like, I'm okay, whatever. But like, when you're in a theater and I was sitting right next to some elderly people, which these people probably, I hope they understood what they were getting into, because I heard this woman talking before the movie started, and she's talking to, like, her husband, boyfriend, and she's like, oh, yeah, I love Raising Arizona. And it's just like, oh, cool, they're Coen Brothers fans. And then you're watching a woman getting eaten out, and you're like, okay, gonna be this movie.
I'm so glad nobody sat next to me.
Yeah.
So, like, this is just kind of weird.
It's not like it's bad in the movie. It's just our social awkwardness where I'm like, oh, I'm watching a woman going down on another woman while we're sitting next to elderly people.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just, I never understood how people could watch porn with other people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what? Isn't that, like, there's a reason why you're watching it? Are you going to do it in front of the other person?
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
So those are the characters we should introduce. We've got, yeah, Margaret Qualley is Jamie. She's talking in this. She's from Texas, if I remember right. But she's got this kind of fast-talking southern accent like you've seen in Coen Brothers movies before. It's kind of like George Clooney's character in Oh Brother. Mm. We're like, damn, we're in a tight spot.
True.
You know, where he's talking super fast. He's got the accent. Geraldine Viswanathan as Marion. And Marion and Jamie are friends. They're, of course, both lesbians. Jamie is dating Suki, who is played by Beanie Feldstein, who is very funny. She's been in a bunch.
I do love her in this movie. She was so funny.
Yeah, and basically Beanie Feldstein's character finds out that Jamie is cheating on her, because you find out that the girl that Jamie is going down on is not her girlfriend. And which is kind of crazy. She's like a super hyper sexed up woman, Jamie's character is, throughout this whole movie, even though she's supposed to be in a committed relationship.
Yeah, she's kind of on the manlier, like a butch is what they would call it. I don't know if that's derogatory. I apologize if it is.
I don't know. You would always, non-queer people would always be like, well, okay, let's put it in this case. My parents, who are very conservative, would always say, you know about the lesbians is you've got one that does look like a woman and then another, the butch one. So that's coming from the middle America conservatives. So I don't know how true that is, but, you know, you'd always hear that from people who knew nothing about lesbians.
I think it's just a mix. I don't know. I don't think it matters. Like, anyway, yeah. It's going to be hard not to talk about sex in this movie.
Well,
because it's all about sex.
So the whole thing of the movie, Marianne's going to be visiting a relative in Florida. And Jamie feels like she really doesn't have anything here because she just blew up her relationship. So she's going to go with her. And the best way, they can't really figure out a way to get there. But Jamie says, how about drive-away cars? Basically what it is you go to a company where someone needs a car in some location and you drive it to that location for free for this company. I didn't look it up, but I don't know if this was a real thing in the 90s because that's when this takes place.
I don't know how many people would want their car in a different place.
Yeah, I don't know. Says it's real. So according to Google, there are a few drive-away agencies in North America that will give you a free car, tank of gas, and a planned route to your destination.
Oh, but damn.
So, all right. So at this drive-away company, we see Curly. Curly is the guy who owns it, and we get some rough-and-tumble kind of mafia-looking type guys led by the amazing Coleman Domingo, who was just nominated for an Academy Award this year for Rustin, which I have not seen.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, but basically they're saying, we have somebody in Florida that needs this package. We're going to put it in this car. Someone's going to come in here and ask to go to Florida, and you give them this car.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you know it, when Jamie and Marion come in, they're like, we're going to Florida. And the guy, Curly, is like, oh, excuse me. Okay. All right.
You must be the people.
Here's your car. Wink, wink. So the whole movie is just like a miscommunication of they have this car with a package that we don't know what it is yet. And these mafia guys are, they're not really mafia guys, as you find. Just, I guess we'll call them bad guys. These government guys.
Goons.
Yeah, goons. That's a good one. Are trying to find them to get this car back. That's the whole drive of the movie.
That is it. That's drive. The
whole drive away of the movie.
Pun intended.
And basically, we're just following the girls as they kind of stop and go from place to place.
Because, of course, they can't go right there. Jamie is like a free spirit, and she wants to just go everywhere.
To get laid, basically.
Yeah, every gay bar there is known on the way.
And I didn't look it up to see, but Marion is reading a book throughout the whole thing, so every time Jamie goes out and gets, like, picks someone up, which causes Jamie at one point to have to go sit in the lobby of the hotel they're in, she's reading a book called The Europeans by Henry James. And even when the movie was over, it was like Henry James's drive-away dolls, which I couldn't find the correlation. They showed a little clip of The Europeans when we were at the Alamo Draft House. Because they show things that kind of relate to the movie. They showed a snippet of like some show where they adapted The Europeans, and it was like, it looked like a British drama, which I'm sure the book might be, but, you know, this shows just how much research I did into this that I didn't really read what the correlation between Henry James and driveway dolls would be.
Well, they don't really make it. They're just like, oh, she's reading this book because she's like a smart, nerdy kind of girl.
Yeah. Well, that is thing. They do show that she's very uptight and doesn't like to experiment or get out.
Yeah, she wants a relationship, but she's just stiff as a board.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamie's all like, you got to loosen up, you know? You got to mingle. You got to get out there and woo. But, you know, Marion is just not that way.
No. Yeah, we... Through some of the various parts that we stop at, you know, there's like they see cheerleaders that are going to be having a house party later, and they all stop there and do like a makeout party. You know, Jamie brings back various people through their hotels, and yeah, you just see Marion is very uncomfortable with it all.
And during this makeout party, Marion and Jamie is paired up to kiss or to make out for a while, and even Marion's like, we're friends. I mean, sure, we're lesbians, but... we're still friends, so this is kind of crossing a friend line.
Yeah, and all the soccer team girls are all, like, sitting across the room and stuff, and the people, you know, like, after a timer goes off, like, one line of people gets up and kind of rotates, and then they start making out with new people. So, yeah, she's very off-put by having to make out with Jamie.
Right, and then, but this is kind of where we get some sparks.
Yeah, yeah, they really start making out, and you're like, okay, well, there is something, there's definitely something here.
Like, oh, they really love each other.
Yeah, and you think that this part's going to be something bigger because Marion freaks out and ends up leaving and gets stopped by a cop because she's walking back to the hotel.
Oh, that's right.
And wouldn't you know it, she, of course, gets arrested, but you're like, okay, well, this is going to be a big deal because how is Jamie going to find her? Like, you have no idea where she is.
Mm.
And this, the next day, it shows him in the car, and she's all like, you better thank me for bailing you out. I'm like, okay, well, that got resolved pretty quick.
Yeah. Like, this could have been a thing, but okay.
So throughout the movie, we keep getting hints of, like, what is in the trunk of this car. And every time it does, it switches to this, like, psychedelic freak out. It's playing the song Maggot Brain by Funkadelic, which is an amazing song. But you've got, like, psychedelic kind of, like, visuals, and it goes on for, like, maybe 4 or 5 minutes each time.
Yeah, like lava lamps and the wavy lines of, like, you're whacked out of your mind or something.
Yeah, and the first few times I was like, do they have, like, acid or drugs in their car? And each time, you know, for the first few times it happens, like, nothing happens. It's just the lava lamp type thing. And when it was over, I remember, like, looking at you being like, why does this keep happening?
I know.
It's so long, and why do they keep doing this?
Well, it's because Miley Cyrus had to be in it.
Yeah, so at least near the end of these psychedelic freakouts, we see Miley Cyrus for, like, maybe a minute.
Yeah.
And she is taking... She's basically... there is a woman, I remember, something-something plaster caster... Cynthia Plastercaster, or that may be Miley Cyrus's name in the movie, but there was a woman in the 60s and stuff who did take plaster casts of famous people's erect penises. And if you want, because I did, you can look up and see what Jimi Hendrix's penis looked like.
Wow.
It's like on display at some museum or something, where they're like, this was Jimi Hendrix's erect penis that some woman took a plaster cast of.
That's what I want to look at.
Yeah. And that's when it all clicked into place, because eventually the girls, they get a flat tire and look in their trunk to get the tire out, and they find this case and a little container, and the container has Pedro Pascal's severed head in it.
Blah.
Yeah. But when they open the case, they find a bunch of different dildos.
There's like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
There's not even a whole lot.
Well, I see what you consider a whole lot of dildos. It's only 4 or 5. That's not much.
That's not much.
And then we see Miley Cyrus, like, kind of sexually talking to a man who, was it Matt Damon, or was it just a dude who looked like him? Because I thought it was Matt Damon.
No, it was a younger guy.
It looked like him, and when she started talking to him, like, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. I'm going to do this to you. I was like, I see what's happening here. It clicked into place at that moment, because the whole thing is, like, Matt Damon, who's in this movie again for, like, maybe 5 minutes, is, like, a Republican senator in Florida. And that also came through my mind as well when they were like, we're lesbians, let's go to Florida. And I'm like, maybe Florida was different back in the day, but you definitely don't want to go to Florida today.
Do not go to Florida. Holy hell.
Yeah. But Matt Damon is like a Republican senator. And yes, back in his younger days, Coleman Domingo's character is like, he was taken advantage of. And she made a plaster cast of his member. And we are trying to procure that member, so, you know, it doesn't get out and embarrass him that he did this.
Yeah, because he's a family man now.
Yeah, he's a Republican, and oh god, they can't be human beings.
Heaven forbid his penis be out there, you know.
Which, you know, if they are a Republican, he could have just lied about it and been like, oh my god, I just remembered I was really taken advantage of back in the day.
Yeah, and it doesn't have his name on it that I could see.
Yeah, I know. Well, I guess you could, if someone came claiming that it was his, I guess people would be like, pull your pants down.
And then just be like, no.
Yeah, there would always, it's like today when a conspiracy gets introduced, there will always be somebody that's like, oh my god, this woman says she has a penis mold of his penis. It's got to be true.
Oh, of course. Yeah, whatever people say. My goodness.
I actually kind of enjoyed this twist because you think it's going to be something like a bomb's going to go off. Mm-hmm. They keep talking about, well, we've got to get this to Florida like in one day. And you're like, oh my God, I like that. Is it LSD because of the fucking imagery and stuff? And is this acid going to blow up or go bad?
Well, and what we've been exposed to with movies is, yeah, it's going to be something like big.
Yeah.
Like a bomb or drugs or a body. You know, like right. A dead body. So, yeah, I do think the twist of the dildos is neat. It's different.
It's pretty funny. Yeah. It's definitely Coen Brothers-y. Just like this weird twist that you didn't see coming. This just absurd thing of like, it's not a bomb. This car is not going to blow up. It's not like going to be a terrorist attack or something. It's just this senator is trying to get a mold of his penis back.
That's it.
Which I appreciate. And I think, again, it could have been done better. Like, if they cut out the psychedelic scenes, I feel, then, you know, of course this movie would have been even shorter. We were probably cutting out like 15 minutes of stuff.
Well, it wasn't just that. They had different cuts, too. I can't quite remember exactly, but it wasn't the psychedelic. It was more like a zany.
Yeah. Oh, and we should also talk about, we get cuts of Marion's, like, first sexual awakening, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Of her neighbor is like this woman that used to like lounge in the nude, and at first she used to jump on a trampoline to like see over the fence and stuff, and then eventually she used like a little
drill
to make a hole in the fence so she could stare at this woman. And you just I'm assuming, hoping that this little girl was nowhere near this nude woman, but you're just seeing a little girl staring at a nude woman in the movie, which is a little strange. But yeah, you get flashbacks of that quite a bit, of her like, you know, realizing maybe that she's a lesbian.
Yeah. Like, ooh, why do I like staring at this naked lady? Which, I don't know. She looked like, what, 9?
Maybe.
10?
Yeah.
I don't know that I was thinking about sex at that age.
I don't know. Maybe she was older and kind of hitting puberty and being like, why do I like this?
But, I mean, everybody does, yeah, hit that stage a little different. You're right.
Yeah. Well, I remember watching movies when I was a kid and you see people, like, make out. And you're kind of like, oh, why do I find, or just women in general. And you're like, why do I find that woman pretty? Or why do I think that woman looks better than others? You know, you don't really understand what's going on.
Right.
So she's probably like, wow, this woman's naked in my neighbor's yard. Why am I liking this?
Why do I like this? You'll find out.
One day. Marion and Jamie, you know, Jamie's like, look, you really need to get laid. I'm here. Let's do this. And they end up doing it. And this made me laugh pretty hard is that, you know, Jamie starts going down on Marion. Marion obviously has an orgasm and then she just immediately falls asleep.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of funny. But I was like, when does that happen?
I don't know.
Are they just saying that that's how uptight she is? Is that she has this big release and she just immediately passes out?
I think that's kind of how they have guys portrayed, is like whenever they get done, then they want to just go to sleep.
Yeah, I've never understood that. Maybe that happens to guys, but I'm just like, that was great. I've got stuff, you know, to do around the house, or I'm going to do this and that. You know, I'm not going to be like, I got to sleep for an hour.
But I think, like, maybe that was just so built up because it had been years.
Yeah.
And she just passed out.
Yeah, I think maybe that's what they're getting at.
Yeah.
Coleman Domingo and his guys, you know, they have a lot of things going on in the movie, too, of tracking down these women. And there's one guy who's kind of an asshole, and then the other bald guy who's, like, good at talking with people, and they argue the whole time trying to find the two girls.
Oh, yes.
But they find them at their hotel, and talk about, it's another weird thing of, like, I'm just watching this, but, you know, Marion comes out of the shower or whatnot, and Jamie is using Matt Damon's dildo to masturbate with.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, what the fuck? And she's like, I'm sorry, I wanted, you know, I didn't get off last night like you did.
That's right. I had to pleasure myself.
Yeah. And this is where Coleman Domingo and his guys come in. And this is kind of a funny scene of that the girls just start screaming for like, they don't stop. They're like screaming for like a minute straight while they're all like, calm down, you got to come with us, come down. And they're just like, ah.
But you think they're in a hotel.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that alert somebody?
I was thinking that too. I was like, oh, someone's going to come in. But this does lead to a very funny moment because you know, the two girls are taken by Coleman Domingo and his guys to a dog track. But while they're there, we see a maid cleaning the bed that the girls in their hotel room have left. And she ends up finding this dildo, this loose dildo.
Oh, no.
Well, back at the dog track, you know, Coleman Domingo was like, look, this is the whole thing. The senator got a mold of his penis made and we need that back. And of his two guys, the kind of rough dude is arguing with the bald-headed guy like he always is. And he ends up pulling a gun out and killing the bald-headed guy and Coleman Domingo.
Yeah.
In a rage before he just runs off.
He just goes psycho.
And yeah, the girls escape and go back to the hotel room and they're like, well, where's the dildo? Because the whole thing was that the Matt Damon's penis dildo was not in the case, but it is back at the hotel room. And the maid has placed it in the bathroom with like a little...
like a bow, I think.
A bow around it,
a bow around it. Just like, you know how they do decorative things sometimes? Uh-huh. Yeah, they're like, oh,
which
I don't
is
know
very
what
funny.
To do with this.
We get another sex moment, which again is not bad, but awkward when you're in a room with elderly people of them like having sex in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they get the penis. They start using the penis on each other.
Yeah, Marion's like, I want to use the senator's penis or something weird like that. And I'm like, oh, that kind of turned me off a little. I'm just like, oh, that just seems so weird to me.
Because that's kind of hinted at is that like from Jamie is like this penis is amazing.
Yeah.
That's what's hinted at. And, you know, we're kind of wrapping the movie up here, but basically is they decide they're going to blackmail Matt Damon for money. And Jamie, I knew exactly what Jamie was doing here because she's like, I'm going to go to the art store real quick. And we see her like mixing stuff up and I knew exactly she was making a mold of this penis.
Yeah, see, I didn't. I didn't even get it. I'm just like, oh, is she going to make like a... Hell, I don't even know what she was making.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, I love crafts too. That's great.
Oh, she's an art person. That's cool.
She's just, you know, doing her thing.
Yeah. But they call Matt Damon's office and they're like, we want $1 million and we're going to meet up at this lesbian bar downtown and we'll give you the penis and we're, you know, that's it. We're done. And welcome to the movie, Matt Damon. He's finally in it. We see a billboard of him and his family earlier, but he's actually here.
Yeah, he's feeling out of place in this bar.
Yeah, which is funny. He's a Republican senator, so of course he would probably feel like he's going to burst into flame if he goes into a lesbian bar.
Oh my gosh, probably.
But he gives him the money. They give him the dildo, and you know, that's it. He gives him some threats and stuff like that, or he's like, you don't understand what happened to me. I was taken advantage of, and they part, and Beanie Feldstein's character, Suki, has been, like, following them the whole time, like... At one point, Jamie does call her and be like, go to Curly's driveway place. You know, something's going on here. You've got to help us out. Like, we're in trouble.
Yeah, which also, just to explain what happens next, is that she is a cop.
Yes.
So we have seen her in the background doing cop things and, all of her cop stuff.
For sure. The two goons do visit her at one point and she beats the shit out of one, the big one, the guy who ends up killing everybody.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah. And there's this whole thread of her wanting to get rid of this dog that Jamie made her get.
Yeah, it's like, a smaller dog.
Yeah. So she's like traveling with it, trying to get rid of it, you know, to give it to Jamie. Because Jamie's like, if you help us out, I will take the dog.
Yeah.
But there is a funny moment where Suki, Beanie Feldstein's character, does go to the drive-away place. And, like, Curly, the guy who owns it, has been beaten up so poorly. He's just behind the counter on the ground.
And I'm not laughing that somebody's beat up. It's just what's happening next is funny.
And she's, like, looking and she's like, God damn it, Jamie, you lying piece of shit. And Curly, to try and get her attention, like, throws some, like, slips up in the air, some paper, and she doesn't see it and leaves. And Curly has, like, probably the best line of the movie. He's like, why doesn't anyone help Curly?
Poor guy, he can't even move. He's just beat the fuck up, and it's so funny.
Yeah, that's a really funny moment. But all to say that Suki does end up meeting them at this lesbian bar at the end of the movie, and she's like, "Here's your fucking dog," and they get in kind of an argument. But Matt Damon inexplicably has decided that he is going to kill both Jamie and Marion here.
I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, he puts on, like, a little ski mask, and he is walking towards them with a gun, like, out and ready to go. And we've established that Suki is like an amazing cop, so she sees him coming and she shoots him a couple times.
Yeah, and it's not like she had the gun on her. She reaches into the little crate that the dog
That's
is in.
That's right.
And it's taped to the top of the crate.
That's right, because they do show her flying, which sucked because they do be like, well, we have to crate this dog. I'm sorry, you can't fly with it. And it shows this poor little dog like in the bottom of the plane.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, but yeah, it is a funny joke. I'm glad you remembered that, that she pulls the gun from the crate and shoots Matt Damon.
I'm like, she is always prepared.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and she, her spidey senses went off and she reacted and did her badass thing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the movie starts to wrap up here. I mean, you know, it says in like news outlets or you hear it on the radio, I think, or TV, but Matt Damon's life is ruined. You know, they're like, oh, Matt Damon was shot trying to kill some people and found out that he has ties to kind of goons or gangsters. And
yeah, that's a whole lot worse than your penis being found out, isn't
it? Right. You tried to kill somebody instead of just finding out that you were possibly molested to get a plaster cast of your penis, because that character does definitely look like he is drugged up when she does it.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, so Marion and Jamie have decided to be a couple. They're kind of sitting at this breakfast table at the hotel they're staying at, and they're like, okay, well, we're finally going to go meet your aunt or grandma. I can't remember exactly the relation. Yeah. And she's like, but I do have something here for you. I've got a gift for you. And it's like this little bag. And they open it, and it's two molds of the dildo for each of them.
No.
And they're both super excited.
Yeah, that's like, aw.
She says his and hers, or hers and hers.
So sweet.
And this... it's very strange, but they go out front and get into a car, and her relative is there, and it's this old black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And Marion is like a Indian woman. So Jamie is looking at this old black woman like, she's like, it's my grandma. What are you talking about? And she's like, okay.
Sure. Not judging. But one thing that was weird is they all piled into the front seat.
I know.
Who does that? Poor grandma was in the middle or whoever. She's an older lady.
Yeah, it's her aunt. I just looked it up. Okay.
And I mean, she had to have been totally uncomfortable in that hump.
I know. You know? Yeah, they all pile in and it's just weird. Like, how come one of them doesn't get into the back and just be like, well, you haven't seen your aunt in years. So how about she sits in the front and you get to talk to her?
How about Jamie get in the back? Or maybe they were just like, we can't get the camera angle right, so everybody's got to pile in the front.
Yeah, probably for camera reasons, for sure. But her aunt is like, oh, well, where are you guys going next after you talk with me? And Jamie's like, well, we're going to go to Massachusetts where same-sex is legal. Same-sex marriage is legal.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and the aunt just sits there for a minute. She's like, well, that's nice.
Because the whole time, Marion's like, you can't tell anybody.
Yeah.
You can't tell anybody. Nobody can know. Because, of course, this is the time when it's, you know, worse than today, if you can think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching ER right now, doing a run-through, and it's in 2000 at the moment, and there's a character that's a lesbian that's really afraid of coming out to her coworkers. So, I mean, mm-hmm. That's 2000. This is 90.
Yeah.
They drive away in this car, and as they do, this waiter at the restaurant's like, you guys forgot your little bag, and... he looks in it and is like, oh, my God. And then it just cuts.
Yeah. I'm like, she worked so hard to get these dildos, you know, remade. And
yeah.
And they just fucking leave it at the hotel.
I know. So I think this movie works in spots. Like, the plot is very funny, as we said. But, you know, this psychedelic thing I don't think works very well.
No, I don't. I think it could have been funnier, too.
Mm.
Like, they were trying to be real zingy with it.
Yeah.
But it was just, like, it didn't hit.
No.
You know, there were some funny moments, but there wasn't any, like, really belly laugh, like, hilarious, make me cry.
Yeah, and it didn't have any funny moments, definitely, like, the Big Lebowski, where you're just like, this is hilarious because these guys are so weird and stuff. But apparently, like we said at the beginning, they are making kind of a trilogy of these types of movies. This next one's going to be kind of a horror movie with Margaret Qualley again.
I mean, okay. I'll watch it.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm still waiting for the day when, you know, they get back together, Joel and Ethan, because it's proven that they make incredible movies. I mean, they do have some movies where I don't care for them very much, like A Simple Man, but they've made some amazing movies, you know, like No Country, Fargo, we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of miss that.
Yeah, I think that's the census across from what I've read and heard.
Yeah.
From other like podcasters and YouTubers and all that, movie talkers.
Yeah.
That they're just like, you're better together. Don't ever do this again.
Yeah. I mean, you know, being an artist, I feel like, is following what you want to do, and he wants to work with his wife and make these movies, so hopefully they come back together at some point, but I'm just thankful for what we've got from them already.
Yep, that is true.
So, what about you? What do you think of the movie?
Yeah, I thought it was just okay. I love the acting was great.
Yeah.
I liked a lot of the characters. It just didn't hit, you know?
Yeah.
It just didn't, it was just, like, so close, you know? It's like, you know, orgasm, you know?
Yeah, I know.
We're talking about sex.
Talking about sex, here it is.
You're almost there, but it just didn't hit the spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that way, too. So, I mean, we'll see what happens next with them.
It just makes it very frustrating.
Yeah, because you feel like there was a good movie here at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it on Facebook when we got done. I was like, my review of Drive Away Dolls needs more Joel Cohen. So that was, you know, a quick review of, well, and I'm looking at the thing, it may be a little shorter after I edit it, after our cat just knocked over all of our recording equipment. We'll edit out a few minutes there, but, you know, we just wanted to do a quick little review since we watched the movie and we're talking about it, and what we were going to do ended up kind of getting canceled, so, yeah, we ended up just doing it for a little quick episode here.
Yeah, which, if you haven't checked Film Versus Film out, go check him out.
Yeah.
If you're looking for, like, a new movie podcast, he's great because he has a lot of guests on.
Mm-hmm.
So you not only get him, but you also get to know other podcasts as well. So he's on all platforms, I believe. So Film Versus Film.
Yeah, well, Martin, he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm, he is. But we thank everybody for listening. And if you enjoyed this show, please help us spread the word by telling a friend or rating us on your favorite platform. If you give us 5 stars on iTunes, leave your name and where you're from, and we'll give you a nice shout out on our next episode. You can follow us on Instagram or Facebook. And if you want to write in and tell us how you feel about this movie, you can. TheFilmObsessedCouple@gmail.com. Or you can leave a little feedback comment on Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the next time we meet, for sure, will be Infinite with Mark Wahlberg.
For real this time.
Yeah, we have watched it. It is bad. I feel like it'll be a fun one to talk about.
Absolutely.
So, until next time.
Bye-bye.